Welcome to the Crappier Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
It's the attention to quality that I'm so excited about for today.
Attention to detail. Attention to detail. Go.
Quality of the attention to detail. Hey, man, my brain is on.
You're on vacation.
I'm on vacation mode. Good grief. I will make it start now.
All right. So that's Jeff. Mr. Welch.
Hey, oh, yeah. Hey,
yeah. What's up, y'all?
How are you?
Good. I'm a little bushed.
Letting it grow out, or?
God. Let me ask, are you allowed to discuss that or no?
I will. I don't have clarification on if I'm allowed to discuss it or not. But what I can say is I did just today start a job at a local brewery. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm pretty tired, but it's nice to be back working in the brew house and not be selling beer or writing about it. So
okay, I was going to ask. So I didn't know how deep you wanted to go. So like you're not selling anymore.
I'm
so
making it. I'm helping. Nice. There will come a point where I'm like, oh, cool. Like I helped get that like in package and out the door. So.
He's like, hey, I brought you guys this beer that I helped make. And Josh and I are like, oh, yeah, it's great. Good beer, John.
Oh.
Great job.
All right. Well, so, Jeff, kick it over to you first. What have you been up to since we last recorded?
This last weekend was a big one for the family. My youngest turned 21, so we went brewery hopping. His birthday request, and I'm not sure what this says about me, but his birthday request was, hey, will you take me to some of the breweries that you've drugged me to over the last couple of years that I've never been able to have anything but the cold brew there? I'm like, yeah, okay, we can do that. So we went to Salud and got some brunch, you know, get a base layer down. And
nice.
Went to Divine Barrel and had a English barley wine that had been aging 28 months in Great Wagon Road barrels.
Mm.
Yes, that was super delicious. And moved on to Heist, and it looked a little busy, but we went ahead and toughed it out. It was getting kind of warm, so it was kind of nice to be inside while most of the kids were outside. There was a trio right next to us that had the screamies.
Oh.
And the mom just kind of like sat there watching them scream.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's bad when you're up ordering a beer and one of the kids screams and the bartender like visibly flinches.
Yeah.
I again go back to my mantra of if you wouldn't let me do it here, you shouldn't let them do it here. But that was good. Had a flight there for he had a flight. I ended up buying out the fridge of their lime Mexican lager again, like the second in a row that I've done that. I'm just like, oh, that's right. I forgot this is out. I'll take it all. Stick it in the fridge. It's great pool beer. So that we'll go through all that. And then rolled over to Hopfly and got him a flight there. And then we all kind of hit the wall. It was like, all right, we're done now. it was a big day. That was good. We're all set. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Great weather. Sometimes it's just nice to get out and visit a couple spots like that. And he had a great time. It was everything he wanted it to be. And yeah, nothing but good times.
I'm curious because, you know, my son's generation and his, they're a year, not even a year, they're like 6 months apart. They're right. Killing the beer industry, right?
Mm-hmm. Some of them are.
What was his like? You know, you got flights, right? So what did he gravitate towards? I'm just curious.
There's a lot that he likes more than he doesn't at this stage.
Okay.
Because everything's fairly new, right? Yeah. You know, we had a Mexican lager at Salud, and he really liked it. He's like, it's light, it's easy drinking. Like, this would be, you know, great for a lot of, you know, like if it's hot out kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, no, totally. And then, you know, we're at Divine and he really liked their dry Irish stout. He liked how it was like roasty and kind of like a coffee. And I'm like, absolutely. He liked, he liked the Hazy more than he liked the dank Zappa. Like the Mothership Connection, I think, is their like their new flagship Hazy or something like that at Divine.
Okay.
And then we when we were over at Heist, he really liked the Lime Lager. He did not like, they had Peachy Hives. You know, it's like their honey IPA, but it had peach in it, right?
Oh.
And then he had that Isle of Tortuga. That's the like hazy that is kind of pineapple and coconut. He really liked that one. And then there was a brunch stout that he was, you know, meh about. And then by the time we got to Hopfly, he was just kind of like, yeah, I think I just want like a lime lager and that's it. And I'm like, all right, cool. So, you know, he's definitely like, he's getting into golf now too. And so like it, that all like tracks, right? So, you know, light, easy drink and crushable stuff at this point. And, like I said, I don't know what it says about me as a parent, but you know, he had a good time. We had a good time and he found some stuff that he liked. So.
Right on. Mr. Well, Wells, how have things been in Richmond?
Pretty good. I added some new breweries to our where we visited list. So, and then I created a new checklist of just Richmond and surrounding counties, like breweries in those. So now I've got a separate checklist going and I've been to 23 out of 45. So that's, you know, feeling pretty good.
So at this pace, you'll be moving to a new town in like 8 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't even know if we'll you know, finish out our lease here. You know, you might just like move in the middle of the night.
Yeah, just, you know, like hit that last brewery, get a sublet, and move on.
Yep. But yeah, I took Liz to visit the new place of employment on Saturday, and then on Friday there's this like tiny little nano brewery. 40 minutes south of us. And I had one of the best English brown ales I've had in a long time. So
nice.
Big fan of that one. It's really nice to, I mean, it's in a completely different direction than the other breweries that we walk to that are 40 minutes away. It's not in Scott's Edition. So I don't know. It's just nice to stretch out a little bit, try something new. So that's been about it for me.
Cool. Believe it or not, I did something.
What?
Doubt it.
I know.
What'd you do?
Went to Fontaflora.
Yeah. Okay.
What'd you do there? Just anything special or just when?
No, nothing special. It was the wife and I's anniversary, and you know, she wanted one type of food, I wanted another, and I was like, let's just go to Optimus All. That's easy.
Yep.
They got food stalls. You get what you want, I get what I want. We go
nothing says table. Wedding anniversary like we can't agree on dinner.
That's right. Well, she's trying to become more vegetarian and fuck that noise. That ain't happening. What do? I go to Poppy Queso's and get a brisket sandwich. Because, you know, fuck them vegans.
Mm-hmm.
But no, realistically, I just thought, like I said, they've got beer there. I know that she'll like the beer there. I have really turned the corner a lot earlier and sooner than Jeff did. But I think, you know, all three of us now agree that Fontaflora they make some really damn good beer. And
they do.
And, you know, it was just kind of one of those, hey, this is easy. So we went over there. Was a little annoyed that people still like, this was not during the day. This is like, we got there at like 6:30, I think. So, the golf tournament, the PGA Tour is still going on here in Charlotte, or was. They were wrapping up that night. And the golfer bros were all there, and they were just standing in front of the bar, like in their little circles, and like you couldn't get around them. They had no spatial awareness, and oh my God. It just reminded me, like, I don't like people. I really don't. I just don't. I don't like people at all. I get cranky if there is more than like three people in a brewery.
Yeah, it's like, it's fine again. And it goes into that again, like I was saying with the kids, like as long as everybody's kind of staying in their own space and nobody's being overly obnoxious. I mean, I say that, and then, you know, we're sitting there at Divine and we've got the couches kind of turned around so that, you know, the, how many was it? Five, six, there were seven of us, right? And, you know, we wanted to be able to converse and stuff like that. We were sitting on the couches, and so we just kind of moved stuff around, and we got a couple looks, but I also didn't care, you know. But it's not like we were infringing on someone else's. So there was still plenty of space for sitting, so.
And I assume, because I've been around you long enough, that you weren't screaming and yelling at each other. You were having nice, polite, quiet conversation, so they can fuck off.
That's right.
Off.
All right. Are we ready for the news?
I guess so.
Let's get to it.
All right. So first up, near and dear to Mr. Wells's heart, and basically almost anybody that has been into stouts, Cycle Brewing is closing their doors.
This one feels weird.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, so roll back the clock 3-4 years. And you start talking about the big pastry stout makers, right? And especially when you start thinking about that in the South, it was Cycle, it was Jay Wakefield, and it was the one out of Texas that moved to Charlotte.
Weathered Souls.
Like, those were three of the big names. And, you know, we kept saying, like, you know, like, that's, you hitch all your wagons to that one hitch. Like, it's going to be tough when that market kind of dries up. And I'm not saying that's the only thing Cycle made, but, you know, man, I feel like they had a lot of money tied up in that.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly can't name a Cycle beer outside of their stouts.
Yeah, DBR, and then I think there's like Monday, and like they have days of the week as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I mean, big, super expensive pastry stouts, and I don't know. I mean, I've got in front of me like a basic beer and a cold IPA. Like, I don't know. If your business model is just selling like barrel aged $40 bottles, like you're in for a really bad time.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Josh was asking earlier about, you know, my son's generation and killing off beer. I mean, I think
it's their fault.
But at the same time, you know, you look at a lot of these breweries that were, you know, making these huge, expensive bottles because of the secondary market. And then, you know, once that starts to dry up, or you've got somebody like Toppling Goliath that starts charging so much for the beer, it's hard to make any money on the secondary market. What do you do? Like, how do you keep that interest going? I think it just. Yeah.
I mean, not only that, but as much as I hate saying it, that the pastry stout world specifically was a gimmick.
Well, sure.
Right? Like, it was a,
it was a trend.
It was an early rogue gimmick, because we all remember all the stupid shit they used to do with the Voodoo Donuts. And then it felt like it kind of went away, and then it just exploded out of nowhere.
Yep.
And outside of like hazies, we have seen that, as long as we've been doing the show, we have seen this happen time and time again, where if you're a brewery that focuses on this one key area, and that key area doesn't take off, then all of a sudden, like we just said, you're in for a bad time. So, rip to Cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're already closed. They're going to be selling the lease and brewing equipment bar turnkey to a new brewery called Green Turtle Brewery and Public House. Yeah. It's a little sad. They almost made it a full 12 years and closed just before their anniversary. So, and that's got to be kind of rough, too, to be an employee that's apparently they were receiving packages addressed to the new owners before the sale was announced.
Ooh.
So, yeah, that was a little rough.
Less than nice.
Yep. So, expect if, you know, there's pretty good likelihood of seeing Cycle at your local bottle shop soon, because they still have inventory and they'll be focusing on out-of-state distribution in the fall. So, I mean, I remember seeing Cycle fairly recently in South Carolina and being like, what the hell is going on here? So, I assume that North Carolina will start seeing some bottles as well. If y'all haven't already.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they have stock and it's sitting locally. I mean, that does seem to be the move. Oh, hey, Charlotte's a beer town. Let's push our leftover stock up there and see what happens.
Well, let's go dump all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They'll drink anything.
That's right. New and flashy, or seem like it's new and flashy, and it'll sell out in seconds. I'll keep my eye out. I mean, Common Market seems to get some crazy stuff, so never know.
I mean, it's like I was walking around, even this weekend, trying to think of where I was, and saw, standard Abraxas just sitting around like no big deal. Never thought we'd see that beer, and then it's everywhere, and nobody's buying it.
Yep. Which means more for us.
Well, speaking of breweries that used to be in the Charlotte market.
Okay.
Yes. So
I'm going to plead ignorance on this one. I've seen this label, but I don't think I've ever had one of these beers from.
Really?
Is it okay. Yeah. Moylan's?
Moylan's.
Moylan's.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
I didn't recognize Moylan's. The name, and then I pulled up the article. I'm like, oh, yeah, the big M. Right.
Yeah, it had been so long since I had tried or had anything from Moylan's. And I mean, probably when Good Bottle was still.
Actually, Josh, not to be that guy, but episode 93 of the Craft Beer Cast, you can listen to our episode where we have the Hopsicle Triple IPA from Moylan's.
All right.
In fairness to you, that was 2015.
Yes.
So it's 10 years. I'm not gonna be mad at you for not remembering.
Okay. All right. So I've had that one. But yeah, Mr. Wells, they are closing their doors.
Yeah, it's one of those like, oh, I remember these guys, and I definitely remember the logo of the brewery. Moylan's has been around for 30 years. So
yep.
their last day was since we last recorded. It's just wild. Like I used to see their stuff on shelves a fair amount in Charlotte, and I enjoyed what I did have, but to me that's definitely like of a time, like in the 2000s, 2010s, and this is a name I haven't even thought about at least since 2018.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just like when you posted this, the article, like I said, I immediately recognized the logo because it's a god awful, ugly logo. But I was like, those guys still existed?
Yeah, but I just threw the lineup in into the host chat. Look at that Omega Point.
Oh, yeah.
35K. A bunch of stuff I don't recognize.
35K.
No wonder.
Oh, wow. No wonder you don't. Exactly. Yeah, the last time I even had Hopsicle was 2012. So, yeah, it's okay. been a little while.
So here you go, Josh. This was, I remember this now. This was I brought that growler of Jolly Pumpkin back from Greenville Beer Exchange, and the Brew Public guys were on. And so they brought those. The Omega Point to the 35K and the Hopsicle and the Two Captains Double IPA.
Wow. Man. That was forever and a day.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, again, rip to Moylan's.
Yeah.
It sucks.
And now for weird news.
Keep seeing this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was about to make some. My segue was going to be that, you're seeing some of these older breweries, shut down, maybe because they're stuck in their ways. They're not, innovating. They're not trying, new methods of getting their beer out in front of others, like putting the beer, in a category that maybe doesn't make sense. Like, for example, Sierra Nevada.
Yeah. So, unbeknownst to all of us, because we talked about the World Beer Cup, but we really didn't like dig through everything. Snappa won gold for an ESB beer. And in other words, Snappa or Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, was entered into the ESB category, and it won gold. What?
Yeah. So I didn't realize that the ESB style is as new as it is. Apparently, the style came about when Fuller's released their extra special bitter in 1971. So it's not in my lifetime, but it's in my parents' lifetime. So that's weird as shit.
Right.
But yeah, so World Beer Cup, they, you know, Sierra Nevada. And I get it. Like, you are allowed to enter your beer into any category that you feel like it's going to win.
Right.
It's just strange to me, so strange, that here is Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, like the proto-American Pale Ale, winning a medal not in the Pale Ale category. And having the ESP category is just curious.
Very much
but,
so.
But the... there aren't many differences between, like, in terms of what is acceptable for an ESB and what is acceptable for an American Pale Ale. So, yeah. I don't really know how I feel about that, but...
yeah.
Congratulations to Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, well, I mean, wasn't there someone local that kind of did something similar one time and won for a category that their beer didn't quite match up with our thoughts? Was either an IPA that won pale or vice versa?
Yeah, there was, I think Triple C had an IPA that won the pale ale category, but we've also seen like a Marzen or an Oktoberfest be entered into an amber ale category and win there. Like, here's an amber lager, but we're going to enter it in an ale category. And I don't, I mean, that's weird to me too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to, you know, entering your product into whatever category you think it best fits. But like, you know, I feel like what I think of an ESB, and even if Snap is somewhat close, like just the hops that are being used don't necessarily, like, I feel like ESB should be English hops and not West Coast stuff, but. Again, end of the day, more power to them.
So yeah, congratulations to Sierra Nevada on your ESB gold win for your pale ale. I wonder how they're going to update the label. Like, would you update the label to, I mean, I know some breweries do it to show off the win.
Right. Sierra Nevada pale ale ESB.
Yeah.
I'll be curious. I'll be keeping an eye out just to see if they do it.
The sad part is they could probably do a limited run of Snappa with an ESB label, with the fact that they won, and they would sell like hotcakes. I mean, I'd buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
For no reason at all, but just, you know, because.
And this whole time I've been begging, pleading for more people to do an ESB, and I've got a 12 pack of them in my fridge right now.
That's right.
Yep.
Didn't even know you had it.
I know. Today I learned. But yeah.
Whew. Crazy, well, that was crazy. Fun. Yeah. Highwire is reopening their beer garden.
Yeah, that's the one, it's not on the hill, right? It's their big showcase room.
Yeah, like the big top facility, I think is what they call it. Or
there you go. Yeah,
their beer garden and distribution center, and that's that is absolutely wild that it's been since what, August? I mean, I guess having 15 feet of water inside your inside your headquarters will kind of keep you shut down for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been about 8 months. Yeah. 8 months since they've had it closed.
And I'm not exactly like the biggest Highwire fan in the world these days. Like I used to be several years ago, but you still hate to see somebody like out of the loop or, you know, like shut down like this for reasons like, I'd rather hate on you because I don't like what you're making, but I at least like want to, I want you to be able to make the things that you do. If, you know, just right. because I don't like it doesn't mean I want you to close or get 15 feet of water in you. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, no, nobody benefits from us dogging on somebody who's going through a tough time because of factors out of their control.
Yep.
I mean, exactly. we can have our opinions about, you know, like we'll pick on Highwire just because we're talking about Highwire, but we can pick on Highwire because we don't care for some of the product they're putting out, or we don't necessarily agree with their expansion strategy. That's fine. But, you know, I'm not going to beat up Highwire over, you know, the fact that they lost their facility for a period of time. I mean, that just sucks for so many reasons.
It truly does. So, welcome back, Highwire. Now I can continue to not really think about you very much. I mean, I just can't even tell you the last time I saw Highwire on the shelf. And of course, I'm in a different state now, and I'm not sure if what the Highwire situation in Virginia even is. Watch them have like a satellite tap room, and I just have no idea.
Don't even know about it.
I mean, there's probably actually Highwire. I think I just read where they've opened another tap room in your bathroom. So, you know, like, you're fine.
They've at least been doing distro in Virginia since, hey, wouldn't you know, probably COVID, April 2020. So, well, good for them.
Yeah. Glad to see them.
And then last but not least.
Yeah. Why?
I got so excited by this, and I think I forgot to take it. I at least removed it from our subreddit. Because I did have a post up. I was looking for this, and then I slid into the DMs of the brewery, and they're like, oh, sorry, it's taproom only. I'm like, well, that sucks. Broken Bat Brewing Company in Milwaukee is weirdly doing a pair of Malort-themed beers. I really wanted them, and it turns out I'm not going to be able to get them, so I stopped caring as much.
So you're telling me a beer that's made as a with a flavor profile of a widely derided liquor didn't become a full production batch?
You know, I recently heard this, and I think this is 1,000% true, that Malort is a citywide hazing for the city of Chicago.
I'd buy that.
And now we have a pope that's had Malort. What? I mean, probably.
Ugh. Allegedly.
I mean, more power to him, I guess, but ugh. All right. Well,
yeah, I'm a little bummed because one's like a lager aged in former Malort barrels, and the other is the same thing with combined with notes of grapefruit. It's like a Malort cocktail adjuncted lager.
I know how you could do the first one. Are you ready? Just go buy some Miller Lite and dump it into a gas can. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your barrel-aged beer right there.
Problem solved. Sounds good to me.
Or you could make some Freno, I guess. That might taste about the same, too.
I did get an email. No, not an email. An Instagram ad earlier today letting me know that barrel-aged Malort is back, and I can have bottles shipped to me directly, barrel-aged Malort, for like $35. I think that's pretty reasonable. Of course, that's $35 too much for Josh.
Yep. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's fun. More for me, then. Are we ready for break?
Yeah. And I don't even really think there'll probably be a break, so we could just roll right into Buy No Buy if you want to.
Oh my gosh. We keep talking about Bino buying these remote shows as if there's like some big list to go through.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
I don't even bother putting it on the list anymore.
Yeah, I noticed. Because I was gonna log mine and I was like, oh wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even messing with it.
Oh.
Yeah, well.
So, Jeff, what are you drinking?
I actually we were I saw one of the articles coming up for today. It was talking about Snappa and the mild ale thing, and it was at Hot Fly this weekend, and just randomly saw a mild in their cool case called Mildly Coveted. Nice little 4%. It is dark. It is roasty. It is fantastic. It's probably coming to our next recording so I can share it with you.
Nice.
Nice.
I mean, good for y'all.
It's only a 4-hour drive.
No.
7 hours by train.
Ugh. Yeah. Sorry, I still don't understand how that works.
You got me, man. Especially when the longest stop would have been maybe Raleigh, and it was like 8 minutes. You're constantly on the move, so I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyways, Mr. Wells, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a beer that I picked up over the weekend from Hardywood in Richmond. This is their cold IPA called Cancer Sucks. Cold Cap IPA. It is proceeds from a beer that it's a cold IPA, as you could probably guess, that supports scalp cooling research, which helps chemotherapy patients retain their hair. So I'm having a tasty cold IPA and putting some good out into the world. So go me.
I love it.
That's Josh, awesome. What you doing?
So I can't remember which beer I gave Jeff, and he gave me one back. And so the one he gave me back happened to be a beer from Freem and Von Ebert, and it's their West Coast IPA. And it is
Freem.
I was not mad about.
Yeah, no, that was the trade for the Weldworks Russian River Hazy Collab.
That's right. That's right. Which was okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
This is a lot better.
Agreed.
So I think I feel like I won that trade.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we'll kick ass.
Every now and then.
Every now and then. All right. Well, we're at the end of the show. Where are we at, Jeff?
Come check us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com. Find links to old episodes. Even episode 93, where we talk about Moylan's Hopsicle. If you're so inclined. It's all the way back there. That's 10 years ago. The shows back then were not necessarily great. Which is, makes it sound like they somehow are great now. That is not the case.
No, nope, it's not.
But come check us out. Email us, contact at craftbeercast.com. Wells, can they find you anywhere? Anything you want to
put? Instagram @allthewells, all one word. So that's where you can find me. Josh, where can they find you?
Don't forget about our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. Rate and review us on your podcatcher of choice. Tell a friend, tell somebody you've been listening to us for all these years and all these episodes. But other than that, we will talk to you all next Thursday.